friends. Welcome in to your Watchman on the Wall, a daily outreach of Southwest Radio Ministries and SWRC.com. Before we get into today's teaching with Dr. Spargimino, I wanted to give a quick thank you to everyone who has been helping us close out this month in such a powerful way. Your financial gifts are helping us proclaim that God is still on the throne and prayer changes things. Solid Bible teaching, timely information, and encouragement that we all need is right here because of your prayers and financial support. Please visit SWRC.com or give us a call today, toll-free 1-800-652-1144 to show your financial support today. That's SWRC.com or just give us a call, 1-800-652-1144. Again, thank you. Thank you for your prayers and for your financial support. Well, spiritual signs, war, and rumors of wars are all signs of the times in Scripture. Pastor Larry and James Collins continue their study of those scriptures today, helping us discern these all-important signs. So let's grab our Bibles and join in on the study of the signs of the times.
As we speak about the signs of the times, let me be clear that we are not date setters. The Bible teaches that no one can know the date of the Lord's return. But the Bible also clearly teaches that we can know the season of the Lord's return. Over in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, beginning with verse 2, the Bible says, "For yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. For when they shall say, peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. But ye, brethren, are not in darkness, that that day should overtake you as a thief. Ye are all the children of light and the children of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober."
The passage that James just read tells us that Jesus is coming like a thief in the night. But then it proceeds to make it clear that this will be true only for the lost and not for believers. His return should be no surprise to those of us who know him and his word, for we have the indwelling of the Holy Spirit to give us understanding of the nature of the times. That's what it means when it says, "We are children of light and of the day."
Jesus also referred to the end times in his Olivet Discourse given during the last week of his life. It's called the Olivet Discourse because the Lord was sitting on the Mount of Olives when he spoke. Jesus had just left the temple and was on the Mount of Olives when some of his disciples came to him and asked, "When shall these things be, and what shall be the sign of thy coming and the end of the world?"
The Lord then went on to give a series of signs, and when he had finished, he said, "So likewise ye, when ye shall see all these things, know that it is near, even at the doors." In other words, when you see the signs, you should know that you are living in the season of the return of Christ.
God revealed many of the signs of the end of the age to the Old Testament prophet Daniel. Several times Daniel writes that he didn't understand the prophetic visions that God was revealing to him. In Daniel chapter 12, he was told by God's messenger, "But thou, O Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book, even to the time of the end." In other words, the prophecies would be understood by people who are alive at the end of the age. I believe that we are living in that season now. The Holy Spirit has been increasingly revealing the meanings of prophecy to the church. For over the past 50 years or so, we have been blessed with Bible teachers who have been given deep, deep insight into Bible prophecy. Men like E.F. Weber, David Weber, Hal Lindsey, Tim LaHaye, Noah Hutchings, David Reagan, Jonathan Kahn, and you, Dr. Spargimino.
The signs that we are living in the season of the Lord's return are all around us. There are so many signs that one would have to be either biblically illiterate or spiritually blind not to realize that we are living on borrowed time. Jesus Christ could return at any moment. So let me ask, are you ready? Have you made that decision to accept him? China's ruling Communist Party has been promoting the idea of unrestricted warfare. It adds new meaning to Jesus' prophecy in Matthew 24:6, "And ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars."
The term unrestricted warfare was first used in the 1999 book titled Unrestricted Warfare, written by two of China's top military strategists. They define it as, quote, "war beyond all limits and boundaries. The means are all inclusive. The battlefield is everywhere, beyond all political, historical, cultural, and moral restraints. All weapons and technologies can be used at will. All boundaries between the worlds of war and non-war, military and non-military, are broken. Close quotes.
The Epoch Times for March the 24th through the 30th, 2021, page A19, reports that unrestricted warfare utilizes methods that spans nations and spheres of activity. Finance, trade, the media, international law, outer space, and more are all potential battlefields. Weapons include hacking, terrorism, biochemical warfare, ecological warfare, atomic warfare, electronic warfare, drug trafficking, intelligence, smuggling, psychological warfare, ideological warfare, sanctions, and just about anything a strategist can think of, which of course is what one would expect with an atheist government. There are no moral restraints. Kill, kill, kill is the philosophy. Critics harshly blasted President Trump for his policies with regard to China, but he understood the enemy. Not, of course, the Chinese people, but the Chinese Communist Party.
The authors of Unrestricted Warfare believe that the generalization and expansion of war is the inevitable future and that every field must be militarized. They believe that utilizing a large number of non-military personnel is the key to unrestricted warfare and that the government must quickly prepare for combat in all invisible fields of war.
Many people refer to various professional or social environments as battlefields by way of metaphor, but the Chinese Communist Party takes this literally. Every field, every educational program, every task is, quote, the battlefield. Everyone in the country is to be regarded as a combatant. All conflicts are to be regarded as struggles of life and death. Slight problems are magnified and viewed as questions of principle or ideology, and the whole country must be mobilized as in a state of active war to meet the party's demands. There is a word of clarification, however, that is in order. We must remind listeners that there is a natural tendency to regard all Chinese people as enemies. However, the Chinese Communist Party represents only 5% of China's population of 1.4 billion people. Do you believe in UFOs? Well, the answer varies from person to person. Most will crack a smile and roll their eyes. Not too long ago, only crackpots and weirdos from the hills even gave credence to the possibility of an alien invasion. Needless to say, however, Senator Marco Rubio, a member of the Senate Intelligence Committee, has been privy to classified information, and he is extremely concerned. Either the technology of a rival nation or a group has advanced far beyond America's technology, or we have extraterrestrials checking out planet Earth. Do they want to settle here? Maybe they want to remove us first, since humans have lots of bad habits.
Rubio told TMZ, there's stuff flying over military installations and no one knows what it is, and it isn't ours. So for me, that's logical to want to know what it is. It's common sense. Stuff is flying over the top of your most sensitive military installations, and it's not ours, and no one knows whose it is. The reporter asked, so everyone thinks we're the smartest out there in the universe, but are the aliens smarter than we are? If they made it all the way here, they probably are. Yeah, if they can get here and we can't get there, that tells you they are more advanced, Rubio said.
Marco Rubio is far from the only government official to appear open to the possibility that aliens may exist. In August 2020, several months after the Navy officially released video recordings of unexplained encounters pilots and sailors have experienced, the Department of Defense issued an announcement that, quote, Deputy Secretary of Defense David L. Norquist approved the establishment of an unidentified aerial phenomena task force that will be led by the Navy.
On March 20th, former Director of National Intelligence John Ratcliffe appeared on Fox News' Primetime with Maria Bartiromo. The two discussed the Pentagon's forthcoming report about unidentified aerial phenomena that is expected to be released in June. Ratcliffe tells Bartiromo, there have been a lot more sightings that haven't been made public. Some of those have been declassified. When we talk about sightings, we're talking about objects that have been seen by Navy or Air Force pilots or have been picked up by satellite imagery that frankly engage in actions that are difficult to explain. Movements that are hard to replicate that we don't have the technology for, or traveling at speeds that exceed the sound barrier without a sonic boom. So, in short, things that we are observing are difficult to explain.
2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 9 and 10 lead us to believe there will be lying wonders in the last days. Quote, "Even him whose coming is after the working of Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they received not the love of the truth, that they might be saved." When speaking about the signs of the times, we must mention the nation of Israel. Since many end-time prophecies have to do with the nation of Israel, scholars before 1948 struggled to make sense of those prophecies. Writing in 1909, C.I. Schofield said, according to the prophets, Israel will be a regathered nation restored to her own land. When Schofield wrote those words, Israel did not exist and there was no expectation that the nation would ever exist again.
In 1946, the founder of Southwest Radio Church, E.F. Weber, wrote, "I cannot explain how, but at the end of this age, Israel will be a nation again." 5 years later, he wrote, "I visited Palestine in 1950 and saw the Jews returning to their promised land from every nation." Imagine how excited Weber must have been to see Bible prophecy being fulfilled before his eyes.
First among the signs of the second coming of Jesus Christ is the miraculous restoration of Israel in their land after more than 2,500 years of being scattered among the nations. A remnant did indeed return around 500 BC under Zerubbabel, Ezra, and Nehemiah. However, Israel was never an independent nation. They were ruled by the Persians, later by the Greeks, and then by the Romans. When the Zionist movement gained momentum at the beginning of the last century and Jews began to immigrate back to Palestine, the region was controlled by the Ottoman Empire. In 1917, the British conquered the Ottomans. Then the region was ruled under the British mandate for Palestine. However, on May 14, 1948, when Israel declared independence, that all changed.
It is true that many end-of-the-age prophecies have to do with Israel. An example is found in Zechariah 12:3, where it says, "And in that day I will make Jerusalem a burdensome stone for all people. All that burden themselves with it shall be cut in pieces, though all the people of the earth be gathered together against it." The Bible says here that at the end of the age, all the nations of the world will come against Israel over the issue of control over the nation's capital, the city of Jerusalem.
Today, Jerusalem has indeed become a burdensome stone for all people. The Vatican wants the city put under its control. The United Nations wants it to be internationalized. The European Union is determined to divide it between the Arabs and the Jews, and the Arabs want all of it. Israel says they will never surrender any of it.
Over and over in the Bible, when speaking about Israel, God says, "I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curseth thee." Since Israel was restored in 1948, the United States has been a great blessing to Israel, and God has blessed us. But the Bible says in the end times, all the nations of the world will turn against Israel.
It seems that the United States has recently started to turn on Israel. Recently, the United States began renegotiating a nuclear deal with Iran.
It doesn't seem logical that the United States would negotiate with a rogue terrorist nation who has stated time and time and time again that we are going to get a weapon, and when we get it, we're going to use it to wipe the Jews off the face of the map. I mean, we are supposed to be Israel's greatest ally. We are supposed to be a friend to Israel. But instead, we are going to work with the enemy, their enemy, to help them develop nuclear capabilities?
God did make a covenant with Israel. It was a covenant based on his faithfulness and his word. So when God says, "I'm going to bless whoever blesses Israel and curse whoever curses them," that doesn't have anything to do with whether or not Israel is faithful to God or not. It has to do with God's faithfulness to keep his word. As we have been speaking about the signs of the times, I want to remind you that the Bible clearly teaches that God never pours out his wrath without warning, for he is just and loving, a loving God who does not wish that any should perish. That is why he has provided so many signs to alert us to the fact that we are living on the threshold of the tribulation.
The truth of the message of all these signs is that Jesus could return at any moment. And the crucial question for every human being is, are you ready? Are you ready for the return of Jesus? Will he come as your blessed hope, or will he come as your holy terror? It'll be one or the other, for God is determined to deal with sin, and he does so with either grace or wrath.
If you have put your faith in Jesus as your Lord and Savior, then you are under God's grace. Your sins have been forgiven and forgotten, and you can look forward with confidence to that glorious day when Jesus will appear in the heavens. But if you have never received Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you are under the wrath of God, and you have nothing to look forward to except the terror of his wrath. The choice is yours. I personally cannot understand why anyone would turn their back on God's free gift of grace through faith in his Son. I have placed my faith in Jesus, and I therefore am able to look forward to his soon return with great anticipation and expectation.
But you don't have to live in fear at the end of this age. You can give your life to Christ today, right here, right now. If you've never received Jesus Christ, just admit that you're a sinner, turn from your sins, and turn to Christ. Believe that Jesus died for you on the cross and rose from the grave. Then through prayer, invite Jesus Christ to come in and control your life through the Holy Spirit. That is what it means to receive Jesus as Lord and as Savior.
You might pray something like this: Dear Lord Jesus, I know that I am a sinner and need your forgiveness. I believe that you died for my sins. I want to turn from my sins. I now invite you to come into my heart and live. I want to trust you as Lord and Savior. In Jesus' name, amen.
If you prayed that prayer for the first time and you really meant it, we would love to hear from you. I know it's the thrill of Dr. Spargimino's soul, and it's the thrill of my soul to see people won to Jesus Christ. And if you prayed that prayer today, we want to say to you, congratulations. There is much rejoicing in heaven. And if you prayed that prayer, we would love to hear from you. You can contact us through our website, swrc.com, or you can call us at our toll-free number, 1-800-652-1144. That's 1-800-652-1144.
You know, James, I've been a Christian believer in the Lord Jesus Christ for more than half a century. And people often tell me, they say, well, the Christian life, that's kind of boring and dull. They say, well, I'll wait until I get old and then I'll accept Jesus. Well, first of all, you know, you might be caught by death suddenly and not have that opportunity. But secondly, I do want to point out that the Christian life is exciting. I can say for this half a century or more, I've been on an adventure. I've gone to places. I've seen lives changed. I've done things that I never thought I would do, all because of Jesus. So the whole idea that being a Christian is kind of boring, that's utter nonsense. And I want to challenge all of you out there, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Accept him as your personal Savior, and you will have the adventure of your life.
If you would like to learn more about prophecy and what the Bible has to say about the end of the age, check out all the wonderful resources at swrc.com. There you'll find books, DVDs, all available for you, your family, and even your church. Visit swrc.com or call 1-800-652-1144. That's 1-800-652-1144. We want to welcome back to the microphone at this time our ministry president, Dr. Kenneth Hill, Dr. Larry Spargimino, and James Collins. They're going to continue to get us updated on all the wonderful things that are happening right here at Southwest Radio Ministry.
Well, there's one thing that I could say in this update is the fact that we've been listening to what our listeners have been saying. And a number of listeners have told us what they want us to do and the different kinds of things they'd like to hear. We're not changing the program, but we are adding new things, such as some needed teaching and needed information, encouragement. These things have been requested. And so we're adding Pastor Larry's question and answer session from the Bible. It's going to be called Ask Pastor Larry. It'll be part of our program here. James Collins will be doing a moment of prophecy. There'll be regular updates on missions that are supported through Southwest Radio Church Ministries. That includes the effort in Pakistan. What a wonderful ministry that is. And the excellent ministry in the prisons. Also, the Bible in the news, events in the light of Scripture will be presented, and teaching and information that we need will be from some of the best teachers in the nation. And this is exciting to me, to know that all these resources are coming together here on this very broadcast. This is something we can just rejoice in.
This is Pastor Larry. I enjoy sharing these ministry updates because it helps me to look at our programs and projects and see how they look in the long run, where we've been and where we are going. One of the things that is in our hearts is missions. Southwest Radio Ministries has always been missions-minded. I've heard some people ask, well, why foreign missions? Don't we have needs at home? Now, that's a good question. My answer is this. Jesus told us to go into all the world. He said in the Great Commission of Matthew 28, go ye therefore and teach all nations, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And then in Acts 1 verse 8, Jesus promised, but ye shall receive power. After that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. We've been empowered for worldwide ministry, and we take that very seriously. Now, we don't want to forget home missions. We're working with our Native American brothers and sisters to help them and help them be all that God would have them to be. We have some Christian Native American friends here in Oklahoma who love the Bible, love prophecy, believe in heaven and hell, and are trying to reach their own people. I had the privilege of leading a two-day prophecy conference in Western Oklahoma's first Native American Baptist Church, founded in 1845. It is located in Anadarko, Oklahoma, about 65 or 70 miles southwest of Oklahoma City. The pastor, J.C. Smith, is a real man of God, and he is very articulate in the Bible and also in Bible prophecy. I've also had the privilege of speaking at a Native American family conference in Binger, Oklahoma. I was very impressed with the fine Native American families who love Jesus and serve Him in their local church. We are working with two Native American evangelists who regularly go on an evangelistic circuit to other Native American groups outside of Oklahoma. They have a tremendously effective ministry, and we want to help them in their outreach to Native American groups outside of Oklahoma. So yes, we believe in foreign missions and home missions to America's original inhabitants, and we take that very seriously. There is one thing we need to remember about foreign missions. Foreign missions is now missions to the local neighborhood. Foreign missions in South America, Africa, Central America is a strategic endeavor against terrorism and fanaticism. Our staff evangelist, James Collins, is in the studio with me. I have known him for many years and followed him with letters and prayers as he spent time as chaplain in the United States Army. James, you are, so to speak, the new kid on the block. What are your impressions about serving the Lord at Southwest Radio Church?
Pastor Larry, I am very excited about everything that the Lord is doing here, and you spoke of missions. I sort of feel like a missionary being sent out as the staff evangelist from Southwest Radio. I am working to visit churches in the local area right now, but to be willing to travel. If someone listening would like me to fill their pulpit, I'm available for Wednesday and Sunday church services. If you have multiple church services on Sunday morning, I'm available to speak at all of them. And if you'd like for me to come and speak at your church, you can contact me through our website, swrc.com, or by telephone at 1-800-652-1144. You know, I'm also excited to be representing the ministry. Being here on the radio, I'll be hosting two new segments. One is called A Moment of Prophecy. The other is called The Bible Says. The Moment of Prophecy segment is all about the third of the Bible that is prophecy. My hope is to equip the people of God with prophecy from the Word of God. The second segment that I'll be presenting is called The Bible Says. In this segment, I will read a Bible verse and then I will expound upon it, sort of like a mini sermon. People today are so confused. The world has convinced them that there is no such thing as absolute truth, but that is a lie. There is truth. God's Word, the Bible, is truth. And I want to look at Bible truths and how those truths can change and transform lives. So be listening for my two new features, A Moment of Prophecy and The Bible Says. You know, I grew up listening to the excellent Bible teaching on Southwest Radio Church. Men like E.F. Weber, David Weber, Noah Hutchings, and you, Pastor Larry, have been huge influences on my life and ministry. So I'm thrilled in my own way to be a part of what God is doing here, and I'm especially blessed to be able to share from the Bible. I have found that the more I dive into God's Word, the more His Word changes me and the more I want to become like Him. Studying the Bible helps us to gain a closer relationship with God, so I pray that people will tune in for all the tremendous Bible teaching segments right here on the Watchman on the Wall program from Southwest Radio Church.
It truly is an exciting time here at Southwest, and it's all made possible because of you. Your prayers and financial support keep us on the air. Would you please take time today to do two things to help us out? First, would you pray for us? Pray for the staff here as they work hard every single day preparing these radio programs for you. Pray that these God-affirming programs would reach hearts and minds with the gospel. And then second, after you pray, would you consider supporting us with a financial gift? We are listener-funded. We're able to come to you on the radio all around the world via our website because of your financial support. A monthly or one-time gift would go a long way in helping us end April strong. You can support us today by calling toll-free 1-800-652-1144. That's 1-800-652-1144. Or you can give securely online over at swrc.com. That's swrc.com. And thank you. Thank you so much for your prayers and your financial support. Again, you can give by calling 1-800-652-1144 or online at swrc.com. Before we end our time together today, I'd like you to listen to a very special program. It's from our friend Larry Stamm, and it's called Messianic Minute.
Shalom, friends. Larry Stamm here with a Messianic Minute. Biblical connections through a Jewish lens. In John 1:29, John the Baptist looked at Jesus and said, "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." This title foreshadowed Jesus' sacrifice in the future, but also pointed back to the means of forgiveness in the Old Testament. As Leviticus 17:11 states, "For the life of the flesh is in the blood, and I have given it to you upon the altar to make atonement for your souls. For it is the blood that makes atonement for the soul." Hebrews 9:22 reiterates the point, "And without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness." Jesus willingly laid down his life as a lamb led to slaughter, that we might be washed by the blood of Christ, forgiven and set free from the power and penalty of sin. For more connections, visit our website at larrystamm.org or see our Larry Stamm Ministries Facebook page.
You've been listening to Messianic Minute, a special feature that we'll be playing from time to time from our friends at Larry Stamm Ministries. Please know that we appreciate you and we thank you for your prayers and your continued financial support of Southwest Radio Ministries. Please know that if we can ever be of any help to you or your family, please give us a call toll-free 1-800-652-1144. Again, that's 1-800-652-1144. Watchman on the Wall is a production of Southwest Radio Ministries and is supported by faithful listeners like you. Visit swrc.com.